Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
How many of you know God's been good to you? Come on. Thank you, T. If you haven't bought your tickets, be sure to buy them today, because there is a possibility, it's not too far-fetched, that we may be sold out. So if you wait till Saturday night, you may say, oh my, oh dear, oh no. Let's get our Bibles out. I'm excited to get into the Word of God. You excited for the Word of God today? We're going to go into Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, and we're going to take a walk today. We're going to talk about your walk with Jesus and what that's all about, and I'll read the first verse and read the responding verses. We're going to get through this today. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even be named among you as is fitting for saints. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. But in all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And the last verse, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to learn how to walk today. Because each one of these particular portions of Scripture talk with the idea that we need to know how to walk in such a way, in a manner that is befitting to you as Christians, as believers. But Lord, it's more than an instruction of something that we should not do, but rather how we can relax and just stroll in with the confidence of knowing that you are with us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today and allow us to come to a place of understanding that we can walk in such a way that we can bring honor and glory to your name. We thank you for all these things. We praise you for them. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated. You know, it's interesting that the concept or the idea of walking, and you know, and perhaps you've had this said to you, how's your walk with Jesus going? But the whole idea behind it is the fact that the Apostle Paul captures in great detail the things that we must take note of that as faithful followers of Jesus. And his description of the new believer learning to walk seems to parallel nicely with a toddler taking his first steps and learning how to walk upright, straight, and to avoid stumbling. I don't know whether you can go back that far when you first started to walk, but I remember my mom told me, she says, she didn't think I ever walked. I was sitting up there and I was substantial. I was a big baby. But I'll tell you, I learned to talk before I walked. That wasn't necessarily the best idea, but the deal behind it, but the walk idea, the concept is something that if you expect to be perfect at it when you start out, it's not going to work that way. Amen. But I'll tell you what, but the persistence and really allowing yourself the grace that God has extended to you, your walk will be perfected. Let me give you these three things we'll talk about today. Question is this, is there a word that you can use that would accurately describe your relationship with Jesus? You say, well, I hadn't thought of it that way. I want you to ponder that because we may revisit that in just a few moments. How about this? Does the term walk bring peace and joy to mind when used as a metaphor to describe your relationship with Jesus? Now, the unfortunate thing is that many of us get caught up in situations and we find ourselves stumbling and sometimes we find ourselves down for the count. I don't want to heap any condemnation on anyone, but I guarantee you by the end of this message today, you'll have confidence and a greater idea, grasp on what it really means to walk in the power of the Spirit. How about this, the last one. Have you become reliant upon the Holy Spirit to act as your spiritual GPS? You know, the whole GPS concept, and obviously some of you, how many of you have a lady that talks to you on your GPS? Mm-hmm. I named mine. Her name is Sarah Danae. Sarah Danae, sometimes she gets confused. Because she'll send you down the street over there and she never says sorry. You know what her word is? Recalculating. So she got a spirit of, I don't know what she got in her, but the girl needs deliverance. But today we're going to get into our GPS of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to learn how to walk, okay? Let's go into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. We'll read those again because it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this part in here says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I don't want you to see this as a teetotaling scripture because that's not what it is. It's easy to get drunk with wine. Yeah. Keep on drinking. And pretty soon it'll hit you, or the lights will go out, or whatever you do when you manifest that way. But the key is this. If you keep there, something's going to happen to you. Let's turn it around. If you keep the intoxication of the Spirit of God, something's going to happen to you. It's going to change. Watch this. Change the way you walk. When you get drunk, you're like, you stumbling all over yourself, can't even hold yourself up. When you get drunk, testify, I know. When you get filled with that Mad Dog 2020, give me some. I'll get to yours in a minute. All you Smirnoff folks out there, I know. But the point of it is, if you drink enough of that stuff, you will talk different. Yes, you will. But here's the part that really gets to you. You will think different. And sometimes when you're drunk, you think you can do things you have never done in your entire life. You know what? But here's the deal. It takes away your inhibitions. When you get drunk in the Spirit, all of a sudden things that you thought were impossible now seem like they're possible because you're intoxicated by the power of God. That's why that scripture is there. It's not the fact to invite you to get your favorite beverage and sit down in front of the TV set. God bless you. Be not drunk with, wine. But it does tell you to be filled with the Spirit. And the idea of being filled with the Spirit is when you're filled with the Spirit, He has the right of way, and he designates to you the proper things that you should do that will invoke his kingdom. Let's get into this. We must submit ourselves to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in a daily realm. But along with that, there's a couple other things. Jesus began his ministry in the wilderness with a 40-day wilderness experience, being led by the Spirit. I won't ask how many are in a wilderness right now, but I'll tell you, when you go through a wilderness experience, it's very difficult. But if you know someone is leading you, it is nearly as bad. It may be territory you've never invoked upon before. But if you have confidence in the person that is leading you, it takes some of the frightening experiences away. I want to tell every single one of you in here, if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you've given yourself over to him, the Holy Spirit is now designated as your guide in every situation that you're facing. And he will lead you no matter how dark it seems, no matter how unusual it seems, no matter how foreign it seems. He will lead you in the path of righteousness. And the Bible says that the reason why Jesus was, he listened to what the Spirit had to tell him. Now, our problem sometimes, we get into a different environment, we got ideas. Especially men. We don't need roadmaps, we need our intuition. Yeah, I feel like if I go that direction, I'll be okay. I don't have time to finish that. Because your wife's like, well, honey, and the map, it says, I don't care what that map says. It's what I feel. I got to move on because I could get stuck there, okay? His success rested upon his willingness to be led by the Spirit. Well, our human spirit will constantly be in conflict with the Holy Spirit. That's not news to you, but it's just one of the things we'll talk about. The struggle between the flesh and the Spirit is centered upon desire and our will that conflicts with the direction of the Spirit. Because sometimes the things we desire are contrary to the Spirit of God. And we'll give ourselves a pass on certain things that the Holy Spirit says, we need to deal with this today. Amen. I won't ask this question. I already know the answer. How many of you put off things for tomorrow that you should have done today? Amen. I see somebody back there just waving their hand. You'll control them tears. It's okay, baby. It's going to be fine. Yeah. We will discover what we really believe about Jesus when we are confronted by the works and the manifestations of the flesh. That's when you really discover what you believe about Jesus. And we're going to touch on some subject here. Well, he says, you know, Paul's kind of bold here. He says in verse 3, he says, for fornication and all uncleanness. Well, did he put that word in there, fornication, in the Bible? I thought we were talking about walking in the Spirit. He got it all in my business. If you're looking for politeness to confront the sin areas in your life, it doesn't work. I mean, Jesus calls it out. The Holy Spirit calls it out. But here's the thing. The most fundamental choice that we must make is to walk in love. And I'm going to expose some things to you. Because, you know, fornication is one of those words we don't really talk about much anymore. Because our society's kind of erased it. They have. Because everybody's engaged. We're engaged. I know we live together, we're sleeping together, we're engaged. We're gonna get married in 2002. We already picked out a date and a venue. And until then, you are fornicating. See, you folks are just so narrow-minded. Have you read the Word of God? But unfortunately, we've detached ourselves from those particular things. And let me get to a place where it'll help us. If we're walking in love, Jesus desires that we imitate him and with childlike faith. And in the same way that children desire to be like their parents, we are to conform to the image of Jesus. This is more than a what would Jesus do moment. But it's the very fact of when he brings up things like this that we talk about uncleanness and fornication, this type of thing. And even though that seems uncomfortable to some people, God hasn't changed his mind about the things that will make you a healthy, whole person. Amen. And unfortunately, you know, the society says you can give yourself away to various people on various occasions. And the dating website situation and the online dating situation is at an all-time boom because people are going from one person to the next person to the next person trying to find something. But don't call it fornication. Call it the fact of you're just experimenting with life. You're just finding that soulmate. At what expense? Everything that Jesus did was a living demonstration of an action of love. And let's look at that for a moment. The most fundamental act of love is sacrificing ourself and desires of our flesh. What does that mean? I mean, Jesus sacrificed on the cross was a total surrender of his life that we might be able to withstand the temptation and desires of our flesh. Now, hopefully I can get this really welded in your spirit. The idea about sin. And so we're quick to jump to the fact of the sin equation as far as it's concerned. But we're going to get to a place in just a few moments that will help you never have to struggle with sin again. So what? I mean that. Where you will never have to struggle with sin again. I know I got your attention. Good, that's great. Because this. We must take authority and action by believing that sin is not our problem. What? All the things going around here, you would say sin is not our problem? Yes. Now listen to it very carefully, so I don't want you to say this any differently than what I'm going to tell you in this next few moments. This is the whole crux of what this message is going to revolve around. The greatest obstacle that we must overcome in our walk is us believing in the finished works of Jesus, which means this: the love that Jesus has given to us is more powerful than any temptation or sin that would ever overtake us. But the greatest sin there is unbelief in what Jesus did. Because when you get to a point of temptation and, you know, you're about to do whatever it happens to be, over drink, over whatever, get involved sexually with it, what you're saying is that Jesus, I don't believe Jesus can bring the right person in the right situation, in the right circumstance for me to have a relationship with to fulfill my needs and their needs under the banner of what Jesus has. I believe I got to go out and get it on my own. The second part of it is, I don't believe I have enough strength to wait until that happens. And so you move from this relationship to that relationship to the next relationship, and you become emptier and emptier as life goes on. Matter of fact, some of you are sitting here today under condemnation over things you did last week. And unfortunately, the society has it available to you that you don't have to go to, you know, out on a date. You can go to a website and they'll do whatever. I'll leave that alone. But anyway. Well, the deeds of the flesh are just indicators that subscribe to the things of our flesh and choose not to believe that he has dealt with them on the cross, which means this: unbelief will cause us to live below the standard of love that Jesus requires of believers. Love? There's no greater thing than love, okay? So how can you declare that you love someone when you're using them for your own good? And you love them? No, you love you. It's not about them. I think some people are beginning to lighten this. Here we go. We live with the standards far below those who choose to walk in love and purity. When you choose to walk in love and purity, it's like, all right, let's talk double standards. Would you approve of someone treating your daughter whom you love or your son who you love to respond the way that you're treating someone else? That's the problem. We'll unfold a little bit more. The kingdom of God will not embrace the unclean or the fornicator or those who embrace idolatry. Those are three biggies. But I need to move on to something. We're not going to get stuck there. We're going to find a place of conclusion in just a moment. When we walk in the light, we overcome the fear of darkness. So we've talked about, first of all, you know, we're walking in love. Secondly, we're going to talk about walking in the light. 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's work on that verse for a moment. We have fellowship with one another when we walk in the light. In other words, nothing has to be hidden. I hear this word that people say, I just want to be transparent. No, you don't. There's certain things about you that you don't ever want me to know. But I'll tell you why. And there's a fear that all of us have of being judged or being marginalized or actually to being abandoned. But what is he saying here? The light of Jesus will expose the darkness of the world, okay? But we must choose to walk in the path of righteousness by the fruit of the Spirit. You know, and so the thing about it is you don't have to walk this out on your own. The love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith is the standard of now. It's not little you know, fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit, singularly. Because some say, well, I think I'll walk in love today, but tomorrow I'm not interested. I'll try a little peace today because I don't feel like fighting, you know. A little bit of joy, you know. It's a composite of all these things. When we release the Holy Spirit through our lives, we walk in that. The righteousness and truth when we choose to walk in the path of righteousness by the fruit of the Spirit, righteousness and truth expose the lies and the deception of the world. Amen. Here's one of the hardest things that I've ever experienced. Is to find myself in a situation when I was relying on someone and I found out the depth of their love for me would not handle that situation. Literally, they walked away. And I'm not struggling to try to fix your humanity, but I will tell you this much. When the Holy Spirit, and when we're walking in the light of truth, he will expose to us the things in us that need to be fixed. We don't have to fix anybody else but us. And as a believer, we choose not to fellowship with those who promote the world of darkness. That means when we walk in the light of truth, we confront the lies of the enemy. Now, I know there's various reasons why we confront things in people. Most of the time is to get even. Well, she said this. I got something to tell her about her. You know, I don't like her weave. And we'll say it all out loud and trying to put her business in the street and that kind of thing. But look at it this way. The truth of the light of Jesus will bring freedom to those held hostage by the shame of darkness. And the biggest thing the devil uses against me and against you is shame. And Jesus really took care of that. Now stay with me for a few more moments because I want to find a couple of things. The light that is found in Jesus is shown forth that we might believe. And we'll carry up those verses, okay? Go back to that scripture, please. It says, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which was the light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was not made through him, but the world did not know him. I'm talking about Jesus. He's in the world, but the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. Here's what's interesting, and I want you to stow this away because we'll access this probably in a month or two. But this is one of the most incredible things I find in the Bible, is that John the Baptist was a person that he was a forerunner of Christ. And here's what's really interesting to me. And this is how Jesus exposes humanity of how we can work with one another. Jesus, about the time that he's being deputized for ministry, before he does anything in ministry, he comes to John the Baptist and he says to him, he says, I have need to be baptized by you. What? Jesus needs me for, needs a human person for anything? He's the Son of God. Here's what's something that I think one of the truths that we have forgotten in the Bible or in life in general. Every single one of us need to be a person who's able to sponsor or make way for somebody else. Amen. Of course, you know, John is humility. He says, oh, no, I'm not worthy. Jesus says, get up off the ground. He says, I have need to be baptized by you to fulfill my ministry. You know what's powerful about that? Is that God has a belief in you that you don't have belief in yourself. The value that you've been shamed and said, I'll never be who I thought I could be or who God wants to be. God has a belief in you through Jesus Christ that as you will learn to walk in the light of truth, he'll expose the works of darkness. But the only thing you have to do, let go. Amen. It's like, you know, you think you got... Well, I don't know whether I'm trying to get a good enough illustration. Ever washed a window and left a spot? Now you have a choice. Ain't nobody gonna notice that. It's all clean but that spot. Who's gonna talk about this? It's 98% clean. Who's gonna get in my case about that? Do you know what? It's the spots in your life that people focus on. Everything else can be clean. But Jesus wants to take away that desire in us to want to just, it's all accept. It's all done except. And God wants to do some things in our life. Well, real quickly, the light is, unbelief is the greatest sin that will prevent us from having a relationship with Jesus. Unbelief is the only sin that Jesus will not make allowances for. What? I thought Jesus forgives all sin. Here's another one for you. It's going to stretch you. Do you recall in the Bible where it says there were many miracles that Jesus could not do in the city because of?
Unbelief.
What? Jesus will not override your unbelief and bully you into doing anything he wants to do. He will respect the fact that he's given you free will. And if you decide to stay in your sins or wallow in your mess, he will allow you to do that.
Amen.
Oh my. Boy, we're taking a turn here. Christ will give light to those who want to know the truth. Our choice not to believe was upheld in the garden. Let's go back there for a moment. Adam and Eve in the garden, everything's great. Satan comes along, says, why don't you have some fruit from the tree, this tree here? And he knew what he's doing. He says, oh no, God says we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to eat from that tree. We're not even supposed to touch it. Well, add a little something to it, whatever. He says, here's the thing that triggers our unbelief. You shall not surely die. God is holding something from you. And you know what? That is the key to us going off on our own, is that when we think that we're missing out on something that we deserve to get, we'll go for it. We must not doubt in the darkness of sin what God has shown you in the light of his word. Which means we are raised up in Christ when we recognize his death on the cross gave us access to the light that penetrates the darkness and the sin of unbelief. Let me take you a few places. And I hope it's practical enough to help you. My God will supply all your needs. I want to give you a little simple thing that happened to me the other day. But we don't believe that. We also don't believe the Holy Spirit can tell us practical things that we should or should not do. And some of you are unfortunately in debt because you don't believe Jesus can help you or will help you in your financial situation. So you believe in payday loan or title loan. You say, well, you just don't know the urgency of the situation I'm in. Either God's going to supply all your need or he's not. Amen. But the crucial thing about it is the enemy will tell us, contrary to that. Well, real simple little story. And I bought this card for my daughter for her birthday. And it was a great card. I never could have written anything that good. And I was real happy about it. I was so excited to give it to her, blah, blah, blah. Homie left it in the shopping basket. Yes, he did. But that card was so good. I said, I'm going back to the store. I'm going to get me another one just like this. I know they had 4 or 5 of them there, and they'd better not sell them all before I get there. And then I said, no, I shouldn't do that. But let me tell you how practical the Holy Spirit is. Lord says, if you'll acknowledge your mistake, he says, and this is what the Lord told me what would happen. He says, you will go back to the store. You'll tell the manager, you'll admit your problem, that you left it. It's not on him, it's on you. Amen. See, we got to come clean. Tell the truth. Nobody stole it out of my basket. I left it in my basket, and that was my error. See, don't expect God to fix anything for you when you're up there lying to folks. But then I had to humble myself and go up to the customer service counter and tell them what a knucklehead I was. I said, sir, I said, somebody going to turn in a card, really? Okay. Are you going to turn in a card? He says, no. He says, go back, go there, get yourself another one, have one on the house. It's on me. But here's the deal. The Lord told me that's exactly what was going to happen, but I had to go through all the steps, humble myself, admit where I was wrong, and God could bless me. See, you can't get blessed because you are too proud to admit you made a mistake. It's not about a $6 card. It's about your pride that will keep you from being all that God wants you to be. That felt good. Well, now. This last little piece is to walk in wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. We'll read this real quickly, and we're about done. See that you walk in circumspectly, not as a fool. Well, circumspectly. But as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I can unlock this in real quickly because it means this. It says, walk in wisdom. Wisdom and discernment are two powerful elements that believers who desire to walk in the power of the Spirit. Wisdom goes farther and deeper than anything that can be produced by modern technology. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you, Alexa is not intelligent. Alexa, turn off the refrigerator. Alexa, order me a pizza. Alexa gonna fix you one of these days. Okay, wisdom of the Spirit will teach you how to live your life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. How about this? Our soul will thrive when we walk in wisdom. Proverbs 19, verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. If you love your own soul and want it to prosper, then you allow wisdom to take over. We will love wisdom as we love ourselves. And our choices will be found in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We're almost home. We'll be filled with the intoxicant of the Spirit of God. Now, here's this last scripture that I'll give you, and then I'll give you our points for the day. Jesus increased with wisdom as he matured. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That is probably the most misunderstood scripture there is. How are you going to be the son of God and increase in wisdom? Ever thought about that? And then how are you going to be the son of God and in favor with God and men? If God's your father, how are you going to increase in favor with God? Do you realize when Jesus took on the body of flesh, he felt every emotion and every challenge that you're facing right now? Amen. The temptation to lie came to him, but he chose not to. The temptation to do everything, he says, the Bible says this, either the Bible is true or it's not. It says, he was in all points tempted just like we are, but yet without sin. Every temptation you face, Jesus knows how you feel. So, as a perfect son of the flesh, he increased in wisdom. We must resist the drunkenness and be filled with the Spirit who has all wisdom. You get to choose. How about this? We will find infinite wisdom in the Psalms. He says, increasing in the knowledge of things, we already read this. In psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, given to us by the Spirit that flows from our heart to the heart of God. Worship choir, you can make your way back up here because these last three little principles we're going to work on are simply this. We must learn to walk in the wisdom of God. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of wisdom. Interesting. Well, walk in a worthy manner, Colossians 1:10. What does that mean? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, don't raise your hand on this one because I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. But do you know what it means to be fruitful? Fruitful means that you're making a deposit and the return that you get from that you realize a profit. But unfortunately, some of us, and I can say there's several days in my life where there was nothing profitable to happen. I came back with a zero, maybe even a little bit of a minus. But God wants it to be different. How about this? We walk according to the commandments. 2 John 6 says this. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Now, let's go back to when you got saved. Are you walking according to what you remember that you were first designated to do when you gave your life to Jesus? Oh, I don't really remember what that was. Let me get to the last point, and then the challenge will come. 3 John verses 3 and 4. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now, here's something I want to do. I'm taking my Bible with me for a reason. There's decisions that we have to make, and unfortunately, I do it, you've done it. But I think we're going to draw a line in the sand. We're not going to do that today. If you don't act upon this word of what God is trying to teach us of walking the way he desires us to walk, your life will not be what God wants it to be. And you'll forget the things that the Lord taught you. This is what I want you to do, everybody, right here. I want you to stop for a moment. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. You can close your eyes, you can leave them open, doesn't matter. But I want you to ask the Holy Spirit one thing. What is the one thing that you want to do in my life, to change in my life today? On your mark. Get set, go. You have 30 seconds to let the Holy Spirit tell you what is the one thing, not five things, one. Got about 10 more seconds. Okay. Now everybody just bow your heads for a moment because I'm going to give you some very specific instructions. If you were obedient, and if you did what I told you to do, what the Holy Spirit told you to do, that one thing is locked in your mind. And remember, we're talking about your walk with Jesus, which means that your walk with Jesus is held in suspense because you're stuck. But in order for you to get unstuck, if there's something that needs to be changed, then action must be taken. Everyone stand to your feet. Everybody stand. If you're serious about making a change, I'm going to give two parts of this altar call, but nobody's exempt. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, and the Holy Spirit, the thing that you need to repent of, the Holy Spirit told you today, is you need to get right with me. I mean, you turn your life over to me today. If that's you, lift your hand right now. Do it right now. If that's you, seriously, lift up high if I can see it. Are you a group of people? I want you to get out of your seat. Come here right now. Come right now. If you're serious. If you're not serious, stay right where you are. Stay right where you are. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Come right down front. Lee, get some folks to pray with these folks. Get some folks to pray with them right now. Because these folks are, because this next group of folks, we're going to get a massive response. Bless you. That's right. Come on. For the rest of us that said, Lord, reveal to me the one thing that needs to change in my life today. The title of my message was, Let's Take a Walk. If you really want things to change, now, we don't have people to pray with you, so don't have to worry about somebody going to be in your business. But if you really want things to change, to fulfill that one thing in your life, I want you to take a walk out of your seat, down to the front or in the aisle, and let's make a change today. If you really mean it, come right now. Or step out of your seat, step in the aisle, do something. But take a walk. Make some movement. Make a move in a direction that things are going to be different. I challenge you in Jesus' name. If you want to change, come on. I'm just going to pray over you. Nobody's going to lay hands on you. But if you really are serious, you want things to change, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you want things to change, come on. Or you can stay just as you are. You can stay locked up. You can stay in prison. You can stay half-baked or whatever. Or if you really want to change, I challenge you in Jesus' name. Come on, move down a little bit because there's more people behind you. If you're ready to do it, come on. If you're ready to do it, come on. Come on. All you need to do is just surrender to Jesus. I can't convince you to do anything. If there's anybody else needs to join us, come on down here because we're taking a walk, and the walk means things are going to be different from today forward. I want everybody to raise your hands. I want you to repeat after me. From this day forward, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I am going to walk in His power. I'm going to walk in His authority. I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to believe His word. And abandon all things of the flesh by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, shout out to the Lord. Amen. Come on.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.